Well, welcome you all to this day's video. It's August 13th, 2023, and it's 1947 hours Eastern Daylight Time. This is Ward Green with you. Carl Jung said, "In each of us there is another whom we do not know." Right, perhaps our subconscious could be that other one. Sometimes we see a lot but do not notice the main thing. That's from Confucius, the Chinese philosopher. Mark Twain said, "All you need in this life is ignorance and confidence. Then success is sure." And the video excerpt or clip from the Root Cause movie for today is right here.
Perhaps one of the world's leading authorities on biological toxins is Boyd Haley at the University of Kentucky. What Dr. Haley found and published is that the toxins from a root canal tooth are equal in toxicity to the standard by which all biological toxins are measured, namely hydrogen sulfide. He also found that the toxins from a root canal tooth are equal in toxicity to botulism poisoning. As you know, that's one of the worst that we know about either.
All root canals are infected without any exception. There was a big study done by an American Holistic Dentist Society. Very officially, they tested 30,000 root canals extracted over the years, and they were all infected without any exception.
There used to be a laboratory at the University of Kentucky. It was called Affinity Labeling Technologies. It was a laboratory from Dr. Boyd Haley, who was the chairman of the Department of Chemistry there. And he set up a lab test where you could stick a cotton pledget, it was sort of a hard cotton thing, underneath a tooth that you suspected as being bad, and you shoved it underneath the gum, pulled it out, and then you'd have a sample of fluid. And the samples would go to their laboratory, and what they would do is a bioassay to find, was there toxic material coming from the root of the tooth? And this laboratory doesn't exist anymore, but I have an old report from a patient. This was a patient with chronic fatigue. He came to me. When I examined him, I thought, gee, I think your problem is a toxic root canal tooth. Go to the dentist, have this test done. He went and had the test done, and these are the results of the test. Now, what the test looks at is these are six enzymes which are part of what's called the Krebs cycle. These are the energy-producing part of the cell, and these enzymes are able to take up sugar molecule and get the energy out of it. If these enzymes are blocked, then that cell can't make energy. And what biotoxins do is they block these enzymes from working. So what they did is took the stuff from the tooth, the bad tooth and the good tooth, and they incubated it with these enzymes. And they have a measurement system where they say, how bad was that enzyme blocked? And on this particular patient, the average was 93% inhibition, which is blocking of that enzyme. And by coordinating with dentists around the country, over 5,000 extracted root canal treated teeth were submitted to Dr. Haley for testing. 100% of them were toxic. And just to make sure this wasn't something that just had to do with the tooth or the mouth, they also submitted some teeth that were extracted for orthodontic purposes. In other words, normal teeth, but they needed to let the other teeth grow in. None of these teeth inhibited any of these enzymes. This was finally the smoking gun. This was cause and effect, that the root canal simply cannot be sterilized inside the mouth. It cannot be put into a situation where the infection inside the root canal can ever be resolved.
And it's not sensed locally, because the tooth, when you root canal it, you disconnect from the nerve, so there is no more sensitivity, so the patient can't feel the toxic effect, can't feel the death.
And one of the amazing things is when people come into the office and I say, I'm going to tell you what's going on with you. You have insomnia. You have trouble with your memory. You can't deal with stress. You can't deal with stimulus. And I go down this list. A lot of times they start crying because usually I'm the first physician who has described to them without them telling me what's going on in their life. Because all the other physicians they've seen have just said, oh, that's all in your mind here. Take these antidepressants and you'll be fine.
Okay, that's astonishing. Isn't that astonishing? It's very, very convincing evidence. And that's only part of this movie, which I want to show you once again, is actually... let's click on that address bar, and then we can click on it again in the blank space to make it clear to read, and then go into the middle of it and blow it up. It's HTTPS. First of all, we'll move our mouse up out of the way. https://. tubitv.com/movies/507721/ROOT-CAUSE. Root Cause, the name of the movie on Tubby TV. So that's it for that little excerpt or clip for today. Now we have a song from the Shirelles. It's from 1960 and 61 because it was released in late 1960. So the charts are from 60 and 61 of the 20th century. 1960, and it was number one on two of the Billboard charts in the U.S., the Hot 100 Billboard chart. And, well, sorry, one of them is not Billboard. Number two on the Billboard R&B singles, but number one on the U.S. Cashbox Top 100 also. It was a big hit song. Number two in Canada on the Chum Hit Parade, too. Huge song. Number four in the U.K., number three in New Zealand. I think it must be cold outside. I forgot to check the weather. Okay, so it's a huge song. It's by the Shirelles, and it's called Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? 1960 and 61. Big hit.
Shine, 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 shine.
quite an interesting syncopation in the way they sing the lyrics. It's quite different from many of the other songs that we listen to. Noteworthy that is to me. Is it not to you? Now we have also our study in Not Wild Road. Born Again. Born Again from chapter 4, paragraph 7. The year, now we just did 4-6, where we ended with the 49 years of Daniel's prophecy ending in 30 CE, the crucifixion. And now, in paragraph 7 of chapter 4, the year BCE 454 thus seems to be significant to us in Daniel's prophecy, as the middle of the first week and corresponding to either the 7th, for example, in Ezra 7, verse 7 to 8, or the 20th in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1 and chapter 2, I should say, verse 1 also. The year of Artaxerxes, the 20th year of Artaxerxes in Nehemiah 1 and 1 and 2 and 1. Or it could have been, it could be and could have been the 7th year of Artaxerxes in Ezra 7, verses 7 and 8, which are variously considered by different camps as epitomizing the going forth of the word to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem in the prophecy of Daniel 9:25. After which there would ensue, quote, 7 weeks and 62 weeks, end quote, which is a total of 69 weeks or 483 years beginning in BCE 454. So we can calculate 483 minus 454 plus 1 to see how far beyond the turn of the common era we can go. The answer is 30 CE, the crucifixion of Jesus. Remarkable. In both cases, that is Ezra and Nehemiah, we must consider the year BCE 457 as the start of the first week of Daniel, if we are to allow that the sacrifice and gift offering ceases at the half of the week. The quote unquote sacrifice and gift offering and the quote unquote half of the week, befitting Daniel 9:27. In other words, BCE 454 and 30 CE are 483 years apart, and both correspond to the middle of a prophetic week. And you can also refer to paragraphs 210 A and B and 211 B above with regard to this paragraph and these two paragraphs in chapter 4, which are both numbered 7. One is 7a and one is 7b in chapter 4. That's it for that study. Today's proverb, little children, is Proverbs 27 and 1. Do not make your boast about the next day, for you do not know what a day will give birth to. Excellent advice, I believe. What do you think? The next thing. And how are you doing these days, everybody? Deuteronomy 4, and now, O Israel, listen to the regulations and the judicial decisions that I am teaching you to do in order that you may live, this is Moses talking, and may indeed go in and take possession of the land that Jehovah, the God of your forefathers, is giving you. You must not add to the word that I am commanding you, neither must you take away from it, so as to keep the commandments of Jehovah your God that I am commanding you. To your own eyes are the ones, not to your own eyes, excuse me. Your own eyes are the ones. Why did I think there was a word too? I'm obviously slightly confused by my toxins in my mouth. I think that's what's causing it. Your own eyes are the ones that saw what Jehovah did in the case of Baal, of the Baal of Peor, that every man who walked after Baal of Peor was the one whom Jehovah your God annihilated from your midst. But you who are cleaving to Jehovah God, Jehovah your God, are all of you alive today. See, I have taught you regulations and judicial decisions, just as Jehovah my God has commanded me, for you to do that way in the midst of the land to which you are going to take possession of it. And you must keep and do them, because this is wisdom on your part and understanding on your part before the eyes of the peoples who will hear of all these regulations. And they will certainly say, this great nation is undoubtedly a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has gods near to it the way Jehovah our God is in all our calling upon him? And what great nation is there that has righteous regulations and judicial decisions like all this law that I'm putting before you today? Only watch out for yourself and take good care of your soul, that you may not forget the things that your eyes have seen, and that they may not depart from your heart all the days of your life. And you must make them known to your sons and to your grandsons the day that you stood before Jehovah your God in Horeb, when Jehovah said to me, congregate the peoples together to me, that I may let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they are alive on the soil, and that they may teach their sons. So, you people came near and stood at the base of the mountain, and the mountain was burning with fire up to the mid-heaven. Up to mid-heaven, there was darkness, cloud, and thick gloom. And Jehovah began to speak to you out of the middle of the fire. The sound of words was what you were hearing, but no form were you seeing, nothing but a voice. And he proceeded to state to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, the 10 words, after which he wrote them upon 2 tablets of stone. And it was I whom Jehovah commanded at that particular time to teach you regulations and judicial decisions for you to do them in the land to which you are passing over to take possession of it. And you must take good care of your souls, because you did not see any form on the day of Jehovah speaking to you in Horeb out of the middle of the fire, that you may not act ruinously and may not really make for yourselves a carved image, the form of any symbol, the representation of male or female, the representation of any beast that is in the earth, the representation of any winged bird that flies in the heavens, the representation of anything moving on the ground, the representation of any fish that is in the waters under the earth, and that you may not raise your eyes to the heavens and indeed see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the army of the heavens, and actually get seduced and bow down to them and serve them, which Jehovah your God has apportioned to all the peoples under the whole heavens. But you are the ones Jehovah took that he might bring you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to become a people of private ownership to him as at this day. And Jehovah got incensed at me on your account, so that he swore that I should not cross the Jordan or go into the good land that Jehovah your God is giving you as an inheritance. For I am dying in this land. I'm not crossing the Jordan, but you are crossing, and you must take possession of this good land. Watch out for yourselves, that you may not forget the covenant of Jehovah your God that he concluded with you, and that you do not make for yourselves a carved image, the form of anything about which Jehovah your God has commanded you. For Jehovah your God is a consuming fire, a God exacting exclusive devotion. In case you become father to sons and grandsons, and you have resided a long time in the land and do act ruinously and do make a carved image, a form of anything, and do commit evil in the eyes of Jehovah your God so as to offend him, I do take as witnesses today the heavens and the earth that you will positively perish in a hurry from off the land to which you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of it. You will not lengthen your days on it, because you will positively be annihilated. And Jehovah will certainly scatter you among the peoples, and you will indeed be let remain few in number among the nations to which Jehovah will drive you away. And there you will have to serve gods, the product of the hands of man, wood and stone, which cannot see or hear or eat or smell. if you do look for Jehovah from there, you will also certainly find him, because you will inquire for him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in sore straits and all these words have found you out at the close of the days, then you will have to return to Jehovah your God and to listen to his voice. For Jehovah your God is a merciful God. He will not desert you or bring you to ruin or forget the covenant of your forefathers that he swore to them. Now ask, please, concerning the former days that occurred before you, from the day that God created man on the earth, and from one end of the heavens clear to the other end of the heavens, was any great thing brought about like this, or was anything heard like it? Has any other people heard the voice of God speaking out of the middle of the fire, the way you yourself have heard it, and kept on living? Or did God attempt to come to take a nation to himself out of the midst of another nation with provings, with signs and with miracles and with war and with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm and with great fearsomeness, like all that Jehovah your God has done for you in Egypt before your eyes? You have been shown so as to know that Jehovah is the true God. There is no other besides him. Out of the heavens he made you hear his voice so as to correct you, and upon the earth he made you see his great fire, and his words you heard from the middle of the fire. And yet you continue to live because he loved your forefathers, so that he chose their seed after them and brought you out of Egypt in his sight with his great power to drive away nations greater and mightier than you from before you, so as to bring you in to give you their land as an inheritance, as at this day. And you well know, and you must call back to your heart, that Jehovah is the true God in the heavens above and on the earth underneath or beneath. There's no other. And you must keep his regulations and his commandments that I am commanding you today, that it may go well with you and your sons after you, and in order that you may lengthen your days on the soil that Jehovah your God is giving you, always. At that time, Moses proceeded to set apart three cities on the side of the Jordan toward the rising of the sun, for the manslayer to flee there who slays his fellow without knowing it, while he was not hating him formerly, and he must flee to one of these cities and live, namely Bezer in the wilderness, on the tableland for the Reubenites, and Ramoth in Gilead for the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan for the Manassites. Now this is the law that Moses set before the sons of Israel. These are their testimonies. These are the testimonies and the regulations and the judicial decisions that Moses spoke to the sons of Israel on their coming out of Egypt in the region of the Jordan in the valley in front of Beth Peor, in the land of Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who was dwelling in Heshbon, whom Moses and the sons of Israel defeated on their coming out of Egypt. And they went taking possession of his land and of the land of Og, the king of Bashan, the two kings of the Amorites, who were in the region of the Jordan toward the rising of the sun, from Aroer, which is on the bank of the torrent valley of Arnon, up to Mount Sihon, that is to say Hermon, and all the Arabah in the region of the Jordan toward the east, and as far as the Sea of the Arabah at the base of the slopes of Pisgah. And that's the end of Deuteronomy 4. If we have time at the end, we can talk about what Jehovah means, what the name means, which you may have already heard from previous videos, but if you've not watched those, we might consider that. Now, we let you know, brothers, about the undeserved kindness of God that has been bestowed upon the congregations of Macedonia. This is Paul. This is Paul writing to the congregation of the Corinthians, his second letter, that during a great test under affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty made the riches of their generosity, not yours. It's the same congregation. Well, he's talking about all the congregations of Macedonia. So it's during a great test under affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty made the riches of their generosity abound. Because they were not, you know, their enthusiasm wasn't dampened by their affliction. For according to their actual ability, yes, I testify, beyond their actual ability, this was, while they of their own accord kept begging us with much entreaty for the privilege of kindly giving and for a share in the ministry destined for the holy ones. And not merely as we had hoped, but first they gave themselves to the Lord and to us through God's will. This led us to encourage Titus that just as he had been the one to initiate it among you, so he should complete this same kind giving on your part. Nevertheless, just as you are abounding in everything, in faith and word and knowledge and all earnestness, and in this love of ours to you, may you also abound in this kind giving. It is not in the way of commanding you, but in view of the earnestness of others and to make a test of the genuineness of your love that I am speaking. For you know the undeserved kindness of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he became poor for your sakes, that you might become rich through his poverty. And in this I render an opinion, for this matter is a benefit to you, seeing that already a year ago you initiated not only the doing, but also the wanting to do. Now then, finish up the doing of it, in order that, just as there was a readiness to want to do, so also there should be a finishing up of it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there first, it is especially acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what a person does not have. For I do not mean it to be easy for others, but hard on you, but that by means of an equalizing, your surplus just now might offset their deficiency, in order that their surplus might also come to offset your deficiency, that an equalizing might take place, just as it is written, the person with much did not have too much, and the person with little did not have too little. Now thanks be to God for putting the same earnestness for you in the heart of Titus, because he has indeed responded to the encouragement, but being very earnest, he is going forth of his own accord to you. But we are sending along with him the brother whose praise in connection with the good news has spread through all the congregations. Not only that, but he was also appointed by the congregations to be our traveling companion in connection with this kind gift to be administered by us for the glory of the Lord, and in proof of our ready mind. Thus we are avoiding having any man find fault with us in connection with this liberal contribution to be administered by us. For we make, quote, make honest provision not only in the sight of Jehovah, but also in the sight of men, end quote. Moreover, we are sending with them our brother, whom we have often proven in many things to be earnest, but now much more earnest due to his great confidence in you. If, though, there is any question about Titus, he is a sharer with me and a fellow worker for your interests, or if about our brothers, they are apostles of congregations and a glory of Christ. Therefore, demonstrate to them the proof of your love and of what we boasted about you before the face of the congregations. That's the end of 2 Chronicles 8. Our study has concluded. Now, how much time do we have? 3 minutes. We made it. Jehovah, we know that his name, it means he's a very, very excellent God, because his name means he causes to become, which means he not only created everything, he created all things, but not only that, he also blesses all creation continually, and he causes us, believers in him, to become better people. That's what the name Jehovah means. So it's a very, very excellent name. Now we have 1.5, 2.5. Yeah. Minutes. Well, yeah, I've just come to really believe this this new viewpoint about toxins. Toxins in the teeth, in the sockets of the teeth, and it's made much worse by having a root canal, because then you cannot detect the effect of the toxin anymore. So you're going to suffer all the consequences, but not be able to detect the presence using the nerves of the teeth. So a root canal is the worst possible thing you could do, because not only is that preventing the existing toxins from being detected, but it also allows the toxins, because there's no more blood flow in that tooth, the toxins within the tooth are enabled to flourish. And therefore, the problem increases because of a root canal. So there's no possible benefit from a root canal. On the contrary, it's one of the worst possible things you could ever do. So extraction is indicated in every case of a tooth having toxins present in the socket, but it must be done with a follow-up immediately of what's called curetting of the socket in which the tooth resided, and that means to remove the periodontal ligament, or the LPD in French, removing that as well as any necrotic material or spongy bone that's there in the socket, and followed up after that by disinfecting using something, perhaps ozone, or I'm not sure all the different things they use to disinfect. Ozone's a very natural thing to use compared to some things, I suppose. So ozone might be indicated. But whatever disinfectant has to be completely disinfected in the socket of the tooth, and then the top of the tooth has to be sutured over so that the intact and, you know, pristine socket can grow new bone. So now we're at the end of our study. It's August 13th, 2023. It's 2020 hours. Isn't that amazing? Eastern Daylight Time. The 2020 hours is quite remarkable, I would say, but what do I know? Okay, so, and I'm Ward Green, and in my behalf, this is Crow, Marvelous Timepiece, and Star, Almost as Magnificent, saying bye for now.